guest has arrived. And, you know, he has been with us. This is the third time. And we're both very impressed with Bob Stefanowski. He has done so many things on a national scene. And he is one of the candidates for governor. He's representing the Republican Party in his run, and he just walked into the studio. Hey, and he's got
my beautiful wife.
He's got the beautiful part of the family is with him too.
Yeah, good morning to you
good
both.
Morning, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I just sprinted down the roadway.
That's okay. It can be an interesting commute sometimes, can't it?
It can.
You sure you want to be governor?
We're going to fix the road. That's the first thing we're going
to do. All right. Terrific.
You know, one of the things, and this is your third time with us, one of the things that really impressed me, because we were deeply involved in that fight to keep the income tax out of Connecticut, and you, part of your program is to do away with the income tax. It's going to take a long time, the tax that we've got, and it's going to take a long time to do that. But what is the plan that you have so that we can erase that tax?
Yeah, well, a lot of people say we can't do it. I would say that we have to do it. It's the only way we save this state. And again, you guys know we debated Dan Drew from Middletown, a Democratic candidate for governor, right in this chair. And the Democrats come at this, well, if we just put one more tax in, this, just trust me, if we put the tolls in, it's suddenly going to work. And it hasn't worked. If you look at the 15 years before Weicker put in the supposedly temporary income tax at 1%, Connecticut was the fastest growing state in the entire country. If you look at the 25 years since that tax was put in, we're the slowest in economic growth, we're fourth worst in job creation, and the roads are crumbling. So, you know, people talk about the debate with the Democrats this fall. What we need to do is stick to the facts, because the facts work in our favor. Dan Malloy and 8 years of tax and spend have ruined this economy. So people say you can't do it. Look at what Trump's plan has done for the national economy. And by the way, as you guys know, I've got the same economist, Art Laffer, who advised Trump on the national plan to advise me on my plan here. We could use some of that tax relief in Connecticut. Look at what it's done for the nation. We can absolutely do it here. I've got a 30-page plan to do it. No other candidate has any economic plan right now. Go up on bobforgovernor.com. The plan is there. It's detailed. It involves getting rid of the estate tax day one. It involves phasing out the income tax over 8 years, reducing the size of government, zero-based budgeting to cut cost, the right of referendum, initiative, and recall. Let's give some power back to the, you know, to the citizens of this state. Let's be able to take somebody out of office if they're not doing their job. So through a combination of these things, Brad, we can absolutely turn this economy around.
Talking with Bob Stefanowski, seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination. He's our guest. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Bob, again, the big 64,000-pound gorilla in the room, and even the Fiscal Stability Commission admitted this in its report, happens to be those underfunded pensions and the liabilities. How do you address that?
We have to reopen the agreement. Period, end of story. And that has the benefit of protecting the people that are depending on these benefits, as well as the population which can't afford to pay them. When you have a contract, and I've been doing it for 30 years in the private sector, and one of the two parties can't live up to their side of the contract, and the state of Connecticut cannot live up to their side of the contract, it's only worth the paper it's written on. We have to reopen the agreement. I'll start with the union leadership. We'll have some tough discussions. If that doesn't work, I'll go to the rank and file. If that doesn't work, the state of Connecticut is a sovereign entity. You can't sue it. We'll have some tough discussions. We need to restructure that agreement. And I don't think if you talk to the rank and file union employees that they believe the money's going to be there. And Dan Malloy is not doing the union members any good by promising the money and the checks are going to start to bounce. It's typical politics. And I've seen the hypocrisy. I've only been in this race for 6 months. I got more momentum than any candidate right now. In fact, I did my first radio interview on this show in December. The hypocrisy I've seen in the last 6 months, the state of Connecticut residents should be up in arms with what goes on in this government right
okay,
now.
Okay, hold on just a moment.
Wow.
I know we've got a traffic update, and then we're back with Bob Stefanowski.
Okay, 16 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. This is for real. Let's check and see just how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing at this hour.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
In Glastonbury, delays on Route 2 westbound, congestion between exits 8 and 5A. In West Hartford, you're slowing on 84 east between exit 43 and 49 in Hartford. In Meriden, you lose some speed on 691 eastbound. That's at the Route 5 interchange. In Lebanon, Route 16 is closed at Route 207 because of downed trees and wires. I'm Gary Lee Horn.
It is 17 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock, and we'll get back to our very special guest in just a moment. You know, I have been talking about a special gentleman, a friend who is helping an awful lot of people. His name is John Luddy, and he works with Norcom Mortgage. And he is an ace when it comes to reverse mortgages. And, you know, he comes out to your home. You don't do anything on the telephone. He comes out to your home. He represents Norcom. He's knowledgeable, he's trustworthy, and when you meet him, you'll know exactly what I mean. And you won't have to spend any more sleepless nights worrying about money. A safe, secure reverse mortgage from Norcom Mortgage will provide the peace of mind that you've been dreaming about. And again, nothing forced on you. John will explain everything, and then it's up to you. But I'll tell you something right now, when he puts it all together for you, you will realize that you can pay off those credit cards, pay those skyrocketing property taxes that we all have to pay. And all you have to do is sit with John. John Luddy, Norcom Mortgage, and here's his telephone number. Make an appointment. 860-883-6783. 860-883-6783. Online, norcommortgage.com.
Bob Stefanowski with us, running for governor, seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination. Just so I get this clear in my mind, when we're talking about the unions, we're talking about current state employees, correct?
Yes.
Because the Hartford Current, and I'm sure you saw the front page story on Monday, mentioned how our annual budget has to budget $2.5 billion for 50,000 retired state employees. How do we handle that?
You just can't afford it. You can't have 25%. So $20 billion biannual budget. You can't have that percentage of your income going to retired employees. You simply can't afford it. You can have an ethical discussion about whether it makes sense or not. But the reality is, when you can't afford it, you have to reopen it. Somebody had a great analogy the other day. Where do you see in the private sector where you hire a workforce and you pay them two times what they need, two times market value, or two times what their skill set is worth? It doesn't happen. You pay people a reasonable wage. What this state did is, because it wasn't their money, it was taxpayer money, they went out and threw it around everywhere they want. And if you're a politician and you're trying to get reelected, that's what you do. You overplease people. If you're a business person, like I am, and that's the approach we'll take to this state, and you're trying to be fiscally conservative and run a lean organization, you pay people a fair wage. So unfortunately, we've got to undo some of the damages that were done over the last 8 years. I wish it wasn't that way, but I've done a lot of workouts. The first thing you come and do is come in and reset the bar. And if any state needs to reset the bar, it's the state of Connecticut.
So you would not be averse to reopening this deal with retired state employees?
I think you have to try to protect the existing pensions of the retired employees. They're all counting on it, but there may need to be a compromise, because you can't promise money that's not there. And I would rather find a fair compromise with existing retirees that I know I can pay than what Dan Malloy is doing, which is promising them 100% that he's never going to be able to deliver. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the state. We need to find a compromise that works, that we can actually pay, and everybody's going to have to contribute to this solution.
And what is the other solution? There is none.
There is no other solution.
There is none.
Other than ignoring the facts, getting reelected, kicking the can down the road, which is exactly what this latest CBEC agreement did, and you don't see that happen in the private sector. I worked for Jack Welch for 25 years. Jack Welch would say, listen, here's the deal, guys. We got a problem. Let's not ignore it. Let's fix it. And that's what the state of Connecticut needs to do before it's too late. We need to fix it.
Talking with Bob Stefanowski, he is seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination. We know, and it's costing us, the last figure I saw, something like $40 million in taxpayers' money to underwrite the campaigns of many of these gubernatorial candidates. You're not one of them. Talk about that.
They should be ashamed of it. And I'm going to challenge these guys today. There's 31 candidates right now.
31?
Yeah. Huh. Either announced or, or deciding. Every single one of them, other than one or two, is saying they're going to qualify. They call it the money. We're going to qualify for the money. You know what the money is? That's taxpayer money. And if they get into the primary, they're going to get $1.4 million to go around and tell people how bankrupt the state is. I would challenge every one of them today, don't take all the money. Go out and get a part-time job and earn some money. The general election is still 9 months away. Go out and get a part-time job. Make $1,000, $2,000 a week and use that to your campaign rather than taking another $2,000 from taxpayers in a state with a $3.5 billion budget deficit who are at work right now. Most of these candidates aren't working. They're doing this full-time. Do what your listeners do. Go work 8 hours a day, make a few thousand dollars, and use that to buy your bumper stickers and your yard signs. I'm getting all animated. But this is the classic hypocrisy in politics. They're going to run around. They're going to look you in the eye. They're going to tell you how bankrupt the state is. And then the next day, they're going to take $1.4 million of taxpayer money and $6 million if they get into the general election. It's embarrassing. It's a signal of how broken this state is and how this system is and how career politicians have set up a system, an insider game to get reelected. I'm sorry for getting so animated, but I've seen a lot of hypocritical things in the last 5 months. That tops it.
How do you take care of it? How are you going to take care of it?
First of all, I'm going to get rid of CEP when I'm governor. Unfortunately, I'm not governor now. I can't get rid of it. But if I were one of these candidates taking $7 million in a bankrupt state, I'd find a way to at least fund part of it. Myself. Go get a job.
Well, and if you look at the history of CEP, and I was never a fan of it to begin with, but it's totally been distorted. The idea was to get special interest money out of our campaigns.
That's right.
And what Governor Malloy did was create, and the Democrats, create all of these loopholes to permit special money to come in addition to this taxpayers' windfall.
Still come in and look at what Luke Bronin does. He's coming out with this nonsense because he's trying to raise money. He's running short of his, you know, whatever he has to raise to get the CEP. So to your point earlier, what has he done? He comes out with a crazy position, and then he sends out a fundraising memo so he can qualify for $1.4 million for the taxpayers to pay him.
So you would end CEP?
I would end it. Now, I'm okay with the state elections, the House and the Senate. Most of those people, that's citizen legislature. Most of those people have part-time or full-time jobs. But to pay $30 to $40 million for a gubernatorial election in the fiscal condition this state in is a sin.
Wow.
You mentioned zero-based budgeting before, and do you think that we could cut enough from the budget? This fiscal commission said we need to cut $1 billion, but they included, of course, as you know, tolls, increases in the sales tax, et cetera. How much do you think we could cut from this budget if we adopted a zero-based budgeting program?
Well, yeah, everybody says it's all fixed. The reality is, I don't want to say only, but there's about 40% that's still discretionary. And I did it at GE. I can tell you, if you and UBS, if you have every department and come in and say, I don't care what your budget was last year, let's assume it's zero. And Jack Welch used to be great at this. You know, you had a car last year. You want a better car? How about this? You get no car. You know, you want drapes for your office because they're old? How about this? We take down the drapes. Dan Malloy has an office in Washington. You know what we pay in rent for that? The taxpayers pay $100,000 a year for him to have an office in Washington.
Which he never uses.
And you know when he goes down, he's not staying at the Days Inn up the street. He's staying at the Four Seasons, right? And he's having a nice whatever at night. So listen, you got to start with zero. It's a different mindset. If people come in with the impression that they're starting with zero, it's very different than starting with a $40 billion biannual budget and chipping away at it. You're never going to get there. I did it at GE. I realize it's harder in the public sector. I get it. I realize we have to go after CBAC. But I guarantee you, I've done it my entire career, I guarantee you I can find a couple billion dollars of excess cost that we don't need in this government.
Right now.
Right now.
I guarantee you. Guarantee it.
Wow.
Wow.
That is.
You kick into the details, yeah. I guarantee it. Security detail, excess cars, trips. There's $20,000 in last year's budget for pagers. For pagers. Government employees.
Who uses pagers now?
Who uses a pager anymore? My daughter doesn't even know what one is. I guarantee you, when you're running a government and it's not your money, and it's taxpayer money, and you start to get this sense of importance, and that you deserve an office in Washington, and you deserve a security detail of 80 people, you've lost touch with reality. That's what I'm going to bring back to this chief executive role of the state of Connecticut. Reality, I agree. Let's get rid of the governor's mansion, right? Get rid of it. Sell it for a couple million bucks. Mm-hmm. The only problem is the people that want to sell it, they want to take that $2 million and use it to fund their campaign. I'll use that $2 million and give it back to the taxpayers. We got to cut the entitlements. We got to cut the special treatment. I know I'm animated today, but I'm telling you guys, after 6 months of this, 5 months of this, I'm tired of what I'm seeing in Hartford.
So you have learned a lesson.
I was in the business world to September, October. The discipline in the business world is infinitely better. I'm tired of the hypocrisy. I'm tired of the CEP. I'm tired of the politicking, the slick speeches. I'm going to win this election. I grew up in New Haven. I threw my elbows around. I've got more name recognition on the men right now. I'm up on broadcast TV. I'm on Fox TV. I kicked Andrew out of the race. I'm going to win this thing, guys, and I'm going to bring some sanity back to this state.
So, and it's not unusual for a state not to have a governor's mansion. So you would sell the governor's mansion?
I'd sell it. The difference is I wouldn't use that money to fund my campaign. Mm. The people that are arguing it to sell it, are they going to take the $2 million to buy bumper stickers? Amy's sitting here. She doesn't want to live there anyway. Or let's rent it out. Well, how do you, in a bankrupt state, how do you argue we should be living in a 6,000-square-foot mansion in West Hartford?
Well, they spent millions to renovate it when Malloy got in,
fact. And I'm not against the mansion. It's an asset. But let's find a way to generate some revenue out of it that we can use to pay back the taxpayers. Maybe you do some events there now and then, but I don't need to be living in a 6,000-square-foot house every day when the roads are... Use it to fix a road. Use it to buy books for kids at school.
So what would you do to handle our infrastructure problems, our transportation infrastructure problems? How do we pay for it?
Well, I'm against tolls. It's just another tax, and you can't trust them to do it. There's a ton of private money out there that would love to invest in Bradley Airport. They would love to invest in a high-speed ferry from New York to Bridgeport. They would love to come and invest. And I've dealt with those groups my entire career. The state of Connecticut doesn't have the money to do it. The private sector has billions of dollars to do it. And you can negotiate, like I've done over the past 30 years, some very favorable terms. What will that do? It'll bring jobs in. It'll bring capital in. It'll improve the infrastructure. And it will do it all without putting more of a burden on a state budget that's already bankrupt. Why this governor is so reluctant to let the private sector come in, just like a lot of other states have done, to help them out of these jams is beyond me.
You know something? I have said this for years. The private sector has got to become involved before we hit a home run and before we win this battle.
Well, let's hold that thought because we're coming up on news. Bob's going to stick around through the break and spend a few more minutes with us, Brad.
8:30 in the morning, news, and then back to our special guest.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. The time and place have to be worked out still, but President Trump has agreed to meet in person with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says about Kim's offer,
in all honesty, it came as a little bit of a surprise to us.
Kim met last week with South Korean officials who passed the message on to the White House. Barack and Michelle Obama are in talks with Netflix to produce a series of shows that's from the New York Times.
No comment from either the company or the president, though a senior advisor did put out a statement saying the Obamas believe in the power of storytelling to inspire. The Times also reporting the former president doesn't intend to use his shows to respond directly to President Trump or conservative critics.
Fox's Lillian Wu. The Commerce Department just reporting the economy added 313,000 jobs last month, with the unemployment rate steady at 4.1%. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Lenses Only Optical is changing the way people buy glasses. Call Lenses Only at 860-769-2020 and tell them you want to use their Direct Express service. They'll send you a postage paid box, mail it back with your old glasses and your new prescription, and in a few days, you'll have a brand new pair of prescription lenses in your favorite frames. Locations: Bloomfield, Hartford, or Meriden. Lenses Only, where lenses are always on sale.
St. Patrick's Day is coming early this year at Effie's Place in West Hartford. I'm John Painteris, owner of Effie's Place, and I am excited to announce that we won't have to wait until St. Patty's Day to enjoy corned beef and cabbage. Our kitchen has been serving up these traditional favorites for over 27 years. We have corned beef and cabbage, corned beef sandwiches, Reubens, even corned beef hash. Starting March 9th through March 18th, bring the whole family to enjoy an Irish tradition from our favorite homegrown West Hartford restaurant. Visit us at 91 Park Road in West Hartford or effiesplace.net.
The workmen in Torrington remind us that respect and care for our senior citizens should always be a priority in our society. We owe much of today's success to our seniors because of their hard work and sacrifice. During National Older Americans Month, let us remember our seniors and wish them well. That's courtesy of the workmen, 244 Forest Street in Torrington. They're always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. Call 860-482-0016 for more information. The workmen of Torrington.
You wanted more local Hartford news during the day, and the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC, is here to deliver. Start every hour of your workday with the latest news about what's happening in Hartford with updates from Susie Pinto. Plus, enjoy even more during your day from Brad Davis and Dan Lavallo. They'll give you the latest happenings in Greater Hartford, and we'll follow up on the stories you heard first that morning during the Brad and Dan Show. The best local news from the best news team in Hartford. Every hour, all day. Only on the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC. The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
Delays on 91 southbound from exit 34 to 32. 84 westbound is slow from exit 54 to 48. In Glastonbury, you'll lose speed. Route 2 westbound from exit 8 to 5A. In Milford, we're slow on Route 15 northbound, congested between exit 55B and 57. In Bloomfield, Route 178 is closed near Woodford Road because of wires down on the road. I'm Gary Lee Horn.
And it is 8:34. You know, I don't know why I was just thinking with you, and you're all fired up this morning, our special guest, Bob Stefanowski. But I was saying, my gosh, he sounds like he's got a pair of New Balance shoes.
Well, I'm wearing mine.
I'm telling you.
I'm wearing mine.
Dan's got his on. Yeah. I got mine on. And, you know, the fellow that we all admire is this Michael DeCibio. He is the founder of New Balance Shoes, and we talk about Evergreen Walk in South Windsor and the Avon Marketplace at 380 West Main Street, Route 44, in Avon. And it's just incredible. But it's not only New Balance, and what moms are happy about is they take the children in to New Balance. And I want to tell you, there's shoes everywhere. They got sneakers of all kinds, and the children are taken care of. And again, the locations are so convenient. Yes, as I mentioned, South Windsor and out in Avon. Men's, women's, children's shoes. The New Balance is something that all of us just love. But again, when you're measured, they check everything out. They got great people working there, and this is one of the reasons that Michael DeCibio is so popular with folks that are looking for shoes. It's as simple as that. Again, New Balance Shoes. Remember, Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, the Avon Marketplace out in Avon.
Brad, joining us again in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Republican Party gubernatorial candidate Bob Stefanowski, talking about a number of things, including weaning this state off of the income tax. The media tries to portray it as if you can't take the state off the income tax. They try to sell it on the premise you're pitching we're going to eliminate it in 1 year, and that's not the case.
That's
Explain
not what
your
doing.
Plan.
So again, I've got a detailed plan up on my website, bobforgovernor.com. It's 30 pages long. It's endorsed by Art Laffer, who was Ronald Reagan's chief economist and also helped with the Trump tax plan. We're going to gradually phase it off over 8 years. And I am a supply-side economics person. If you lower an income tax, what's that going to do? It's going to give people more money that they take home every day. People are going to buy more goods and services with that, which is going to increase demand for companies, which is going to drive more jobs. And in the long run, and it's been proven in Florida, why do you think everybody's leaving for Florida? It's because they don't have a state income tax, and they've got a $2 billion budget surplus. It's been proven time and time again. Reagan proved it. Florida's proven it. Texas has proven it. Tennessee. I could go on and on. It will work for the state of Connecticut, but what it takes is not a politician, somebody who's going to come in and actually deliver on doing it, make the tough calls on the cost side, because part of it is taking out cost. I've been doing it for 30 years. I've done workouts for 30 years. I can do it for the state of Connecticut, but you guys were there with the press the day I announced it. They don't want to hear any new ideas.
No.
And what's the alternative? To continue tax and spend? You may as well give up if that's your answer. Mm-hmm. We have to try to do it. I've done it before. I can do it for the state of Connecticut.
You know, I'll never forget the late William O'Neill. He was the longest-serving governor, and I'll never forget when he said to me, the worst thing that we could ever do is a state income tax. He would never allow it. And after he got through a term, Mr. Weicker came in, and he told us in the campaign, no state income tax.
Yeah.
And then we get one, and they kick some people out. Actually, they told them to leave. We didn't think that was what happened,
when
but it did.
Vote.
We found that out. And we got a state income tax, and look at what happened to us since then.
Well, listen, guys, I've heard it all. You're pandering. You're overpromising. The point is there's no other answer. And if I can get it from 7% down to 2% at the upper rate and the lower rate doesn't pay anything, we don't even have to get it to zero, but we have to get it down. Remember in the good old days when New York had a state income tax and Connecticut didn't? What did everybody do? They lived in Connecticut.
That's right.
And they commuted to New York. And we got a ton of tax revenue out of Fairfield County because they don't want to pay taxes. We can get that back. We want people to want to be in this state. It's exactly why they're leaving for Florida.
How do you handle the special interest groups? And we especially see it on display now with the state legislature in session. These special interest groups from all sides are coming at our elected officials. How would you handle that?
Part of being, well, first of all, hopefully we can get a majority in the Senate and a majority in the House in the next election. And as Republicans, we all have to work as hard as we can to make sure we get that majority. But one of the reasons I've been successful in my business career is influencing people that don't necessarily work for me. You don't go from an entry-level person at GE with 300,000 employees to being an officer without being able to build coalitions, get people to rally around a common goal, and be tough. Now, if a special interest group comes at me, the first thing you do is you point out the facts, because 9 times out of 10, they're not using the facts. So have some tough discussions. We got to keep the Democrats focused on the facts in this election. They're going to want to talk about Trump. They're going to want to talk about everything other than the economy that Dan Malloy has cratered over these last 8 years. Stick to the facts, have tough discussions, have integrity, and drive through it. I will get this state income tax down. I will get rid of it in 8 years. I've done it for 30 years. We can turn this state around.
Wow. Well, this is what we need. And the thing that I'm concerned about, too, and I've said it to Dan, and I've never seen so many candidates. And I just
what separates you from the pack?
Yeah, this is the next question. What separates you from the rest?
The first thing I did before I even got into the race is I used Donald Trump's pollster, John McLaughlin, and I asked primary voters, what do they want? 80% of the people don't want another politician replacing Malloy. So that's a big differentiator, number one. Top three issues on people's mind: taxes, jobs, and the economy. That is right in my wheelhouse. I was chief financial officer of a $500 billion balance sheet at UBS. I know how to deal with complex situations. I know how to deal with unions. I know how to balance a budget. Now, that would sound like common sense, right? That you should know how to balance a budget. If I were at GE and within three weeks of passing a budget, like our state did, it's $300 million out of budget, 3 weeks after we just signed it, I would have been fired. It's another weird thing about politics. How is that viewed as standard course? How was somebody not fired? What do they say? Well, we overestimated the revenue. Well, okay, that's part of a budget, to estimate the revenue properly. And Jack would have said, if you don't do it, you're out. what do we do here? We just keep having discussions. So how am I different? I grew up in New Haven. I'm not a wealthy hedge fund guy from Fairfield County. I grew up in New Haven. I went to the public schools. Thank God my parents valued an education. I've thrown my elbows around for 30 years. I've worked my way up. I'm proud that I can fund part of this campaign myself and go out and raise the rest of the money from people that actually want to give to me rather than are forced to give me like the other candidates are doing. I've got the gravitas. People be proud of me in that corner office. We need somebody in that governor office that people are proud of. Nobody's proud of Dan Malloy right now. I've got presence. I've got integrity. I've got experience. I can win this election. The feedback from my TV commercial has been amazing. I mean, people tell me I look a lot better on TV than in person. I get that. But they like the message. They like the background. I'm the only one. I go on for hours. I'm the only one with a plan. Where are the other candidates' plan? I got a 30-page plan endorsed by Arthur Laffer on how to fix this economy. Where's everybody else's?
We almost seem like two states. We've got, obviously...
Good point, Dan. Two states.
We have cities, particularly cities in central Connecticut, such as in the Naugatuck Valley, such as Hartford and Waterbury and New Haven, cities that are financially in difficulty. We see, for example, the mayor of New Haven proposing an 11% property tax increase, and then she's going to the state legislature and saying we want more. How do we handle the problems with our cities?
First of all, we need more accountability. Again, earlier in the show, you talked about entitlements. We're throwing a lot of money at these towns. Look at Bridgeport. I'll go back to GE. When Jack Welch gave you $1 million to do something, you'd be sitting at his desk 3 weeks later saying what you spent it on, what the results were. Here, it's a one-way stream. We take taxpayer money, we shoot it to the cities, and then we never do anything about it. So I think it's accountability. The second, Brad, is what you said. We got to privatize some of this stuff. Look at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Again, I was the first one to come out and say we should privatize the Department of Motor Vehicles. People can't be standing in line for 4 hours. In almost any situation I've seen, the private sector is better at running an organization than the government. Almost every, for 30 years, I rarely see something run by the government that couldn't be better run by the private sector. So you can do it with less money. You can't tell me that we can't get the DMV to be better than it is for less money than we're throwing at it right now. We got to continue to do it.
Now, if you're a state public employee who's part of the union, what would you say to them to encourage them to vote for you?
I would say we're not doing you any good by kidding you like Dan Malloy is that the money's going to be there. I'm not trying to treat anybody unfairly. I'm trying to come up with a fair compromise that to the extent we can protects people's retirement instead of making a bunch of guarantees that I'm never going to be able to. I'm not doing a service to the union employees by saying the right thing to get elected when I know the money isn't there. Most people I find irrational. Point out the facts. Nobody believes we're going to come up with $100 billion in the next 10 years to fund that plan. Nobody. I haven't heard anybody say it affirmatively. So we have to be fair. I've done it my whole career being fair, but we have to have the tough discussion now, because if we keep kicking the can down the road, everybody's going to be hurt.
Will they get a fair piece of change when it's all over?
They should. I mean, you know, there were promises made, and unfortunately, a variety of governors, including some Republican governors, didn't fund it. The money's not there. We should be fair, and we should find something that's equitable. But, you know, getting paid five times what the private sector gets paid is not equitable.
Well, and I cite the example of the retirees, and included in that contract is an annual cost of living increase anywhere between 2 and 6.5%. And Harry Hartley, former UConn president, lives in Florida, by the way, now, and is part of this deal where he gets an annual increase. He was screaming in this Hartford Current story, I deserve that annual increase. I was promised that annual increase. Listen, what would you say to him?
Tell him what he was getting.
Well, now he's up to something like $217,000 a year.
First of all, the money isn't there. You know, life is tough, right? The money's not there. Promises, you know, a promise is a promise, but the money's not there. I've never seen an escalation clause not tied to inflation. You would never see that in the private sector. We got 1,400 people, state employees, getting a pension of over $100,000 a year. If we had money to throw around, maybe, but we don't. It's not fair to the rest of this state who's coughing up their tax dollars every day of the week, who's working 8 a.m. in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. What are they doing with the money? To pay him 6% escalation? To pay $30 million to politicians to run a campaign? It's crazy. We need some common sense. We need some tough decisions. The taxpayers of Connecticut, it's time for them not to be taken advantage of. They've been taken advantage of for 8 years. The money sitting up in Hartford is not their money. It's not the government's money. It's the taxpayers' money. And when people are running around saying they should get 6 to 8% escalation in their benefits when inflation is basically zero, is crimp. That guy should be ashamed of himself.
What message would you give to millennials in order to keep them or attract them to this state?
Hang on. What millennials want, I've got a 25-year-old daughter, they want vibrant cities. Amy and I, we worked in the Gold Building in Hartford from 1986 to 1990. Hartford used to be a nice city. We'd go out to Whalers games. There were nice restaurants. We got to get some vibrancy back to the cities. We got to create an environment where I did. I graduated from college in 1984. I was working at Price Waterhouse within 90 days. I was able to buy a house, get a mortgage, build a nice family, and be successful in the state. Kids today don't have that opportunity. It's one of the reasons I'm running, Dan. We got to create that opportunity for our kids to have the same advantages that my wife and my three daughters have. Because I don't want to have to get on a plane 3 years from now to go see my grandkids in Florida because they couldn't afford to live here.
You know,
and
this
I'm
is
telling
another,
you, we can do it.
This is another thing that just drives you crazy. And I've got five families that I know that used to listen to us in the morning who are now living in Tennessee. In Tennessee.
Art Laffer moved there. No state income tax. $1 billion budget surplus.
There you go.
Stick to the facts. It's exactly what we got to do with these Democrats. Stick to the facts, and we can do it. I've been turning around companies for 30 years. Look at what Trump's tax plan has done in 90 days. If we can even change the tax code, get rid of the estate tax, start to lower the income tax, Connecticut will feel, I guarantee you, it'll feel like a totally different place. It doesn't take massive moves. It takes hard decisions and starting to move things in the right direction, the opposite direction of what Dan Malloy has done.
Would you agree, though, it is going to require some pain? We're going to have to feel some pain.
Oh, we're going
to. It's going to be a lot of work, and I may not be the most popular person. And if I do it for 4 years and move the state in the right direction and don't get reelected, I'll be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm doing this to move the state in the right direction. I'm not a politician. I'm not using this as a stepping stone to get to Washington or whatever some of these other guys are thinking. I'm doing this. I'll do it for 4 years. I'll get the income tax rate down. I'll get this economy moving. And if people want to elect me again, I'd love to do it. If they don't, and I've done my job, I'm happy.
You're singing Brad's tune. He always says that. Right, Brad?
Absolutely.
Feel your convictions, and if it's 4 years, it's 4 years. If it's 8 years, it's 8 years.
You got it. That's exactly how I feel.
And at the end of 4 years, I can feel good about what I've done.
Thanks for coming on the
Thank
program, as always. We're out of time, Brad. Where
I
does
know,
it go?
I know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. You've got a lot of ideas that I think people will enjoy. You got a great chance, Bob.
You guys
you,
are the
you
best.
Truly
we got
do.
Great momentum. We're going to win this election. We're going to turn this state around. We're absolutely going to do it.
Thanks, Bob. We'll talk again
Thank
soon.
You.
Okay, coming up to 10 minutes now before the hour of 9 o'clock. We're going to take a break, my dear friends, and then we'll be back with more. On a Friday.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. The U.S. added 313,000 new jobs in February, the biggest increase in a year and a half. Hourly pay rose 4 cents to $26.75 an hour, while the unemployment rate was unchanged at a 17-year low of 4.1%. The strong report makes it a virtual lock that the Fed will increase interest rates when senior officials meet this month. GM again faces a potential $1 billion stock payout over its ignition switch crisis after a trust for the company's bankruptcy estate renewed discussions with plaintiffs about a settlement. The trust, tasked with compensating creditors of the old GM, is discussing a possible deal that previously fell apart. Old GM is the term often used to describe the assets GM left behind in 2009 as part of its $50 billion government rescue and bankruptcy restructuring. J&J says the average price paid for its medicines in the U.S. fell by 4.6% last year due to discounts. That's Your Money Now.
Juniper Home Care is proudly celebrating its 20th anniversary. Family-owned and operated, Juniper provides nurse supervision, office support, online caregiving resources, and